shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians called to a higher level of understanding will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast. And now, the day's message by Pastor Bob.
You know, I think that there is absolutely no question whatsoever, that morality of our country is falling apart at the seams. And it seems to me that one of the reasons for that decay is today's subject, which we're covering. It's going to be called the sin of homosexuality. And at times, I want to warn you in advance, I'm going to get a little bit graphic, so please be forewarned that children and those sensitive to graphic content and subject matter may not want to listen to these broadcasts. Now, anyone who has read the Word of God knows for a certainty that homosexuality violates the Word of God, period. And I'm utterly amazed that so many Christians, or at least so many people who call themselves Christians, how they can somehow come to think that the Bible does not condemn and judge homosexuality. I mean, can you believe that? And I am told that the deniers of this simple truth are even winning debates against our Judeo-Christian brothers and others who cannot or do not assert the law of God. You know, there was a time, and it's not been that long ago, but there's been a time in our history when homosexuality was such a disgusting, awful sin that it was condemned and expelled from society. In fact, it was so repugnant to Western nations that they did not even have to refer to the Word of God, because the sin was as plain as the nose in your face. Homosexuality was rejected for what it is. It was condemned because it is a vile, dehumanizing act and sin. Now listen to me, folks. The sin of homosexuality exposes in its practitioners a form of wickedness much deeper and more comprehensive than even the homosexual act itself does. Today, however, we have many apologists for homosexuality, including people we would normally expect to oppose it, and I will discuss some of these people shortly. But first of all, the money and power of the world elite, many of whom, by the way, are practicing homosexuals, but anyhow, these people have been creating a homosexual public relations industry, a PR industry, if you will. The sodomites, you see, now shape public opinion and, more importantly, public policy and, in some cases, even law. This PR industry for queers and queerdom is so effective at warping the minds of people that they have taken the simple sin of homosexuality and driven it to a new level. That is, they have elevated the sin of homosexuality to the sin of deception or to sorcery. In other words, the homosexuality public relations industry engages in deception and brainwashing, hence sorcery. And of course, we would classify that as Christians as a form of idolatry. But homosexuality is not just a sinful practice, it is a belief. It is a god unto itself, if you will. The sodomites even have their own tax-exempt church, incorporated and recognized by the Internal Revenue Service and located in cities all across America. The name of that church is called the Metropolitan Community Center, or the Metropolitan Community Church, I guess it is. And herein lies another curse of this thing called homosexuality. You see, when homosexuality exceeds being a personal sin of men, that is, when government and society accept homosexuality, homosexuality is no longer a mere sin of the individual, it has become a nationwide curse. And so, homosexuality is a curse on our nation, it's a curse on our entire land, and we need look no further than the judgments of AIDS, VD and herpes, especially AIDS, to find proof of this particular curse. Now, one of these people you would never expect to defend homosexuality is a man named William Bennett. William Bennett is one of those so-called conservative Republicans. He was Secretary of Education during the Reagan administration. And good old Bill Bennett is the author of the current best-selling book entitled The Book of Virtues. That's right, The Book of Virtues. He makes regular appearances on psychologist James Dobson's Focus on the Family program. He's on Marlon Maddox's Point of View talk show, plus the Rush Limbaugh show and others. Yes, it's difficult to believe that someone who writes a book called The Book of Virtues and proclaims family values could possibly defend homosexuality. I mean, only a so-called conservative Republican or Judeo-Christian could get away with that one, at least I think so. But Bennett says that Republicans need to get away from criticizing homosexuality and homosexuals. He also says that we need to stop protesting abortion. According to Bennett, if the GOP gets involved in these issues, they will lose popular appeal with the voters. Well, that alone allows me to say, well, so much for the virtue with Bill Bennett. But William Bennett is just part of the growing trend in America to justify or ignore homosexuals and their disgusting sin. And this trend is particularly evident in the Republican Party ever since 1985, when the GOP decided to become the Big Tent, or the Party of Diversity, under the direction of National Chairman Frank Fahrenkopf. And as a result, Republican leaders are now saying it is important to reach out to all peoples. Well, to accomplish this, they have established special recruiting teams to bring in minorities, Mexicans, and other aliens, as well as, here we go, sodomites and lesbians. The GOP has even established special committees to rewrite the party platform, I'm told, to make it more acceptable to homosexuals, abortionists, and aliens. Therefore, we should not find it surprising that Bill Bennett and Jack Kemp came out against California's Proposition 187. If you recall, Proposition 187 was a California voter initiative restricting welfare to be given to illegal immigrants. And it passed overwhelmingly. And it did so in a state dominated by alien special interest groups and political wheeling and dealing. Now, Bennett and Kemp say that when Republicans support Proposition 187 and other pro-American laws, they reduce the political appeal of the GOP to illegal immigrants. And I would say, well, who cares? But what they are saying is that it is important to have Mexicans in the Republican Party. It's more important to have Mexicans in the Republican Party than to protect our nation's sovereignty, our borders, and our identity. For Bill Bennett, then, and other unprincipled Republicans, popular appeal is the most important virtue to which a man or woman can aspire. No wonder he wants to abandon the culture and the religious war against homosexuality, abortion, and so on. Now, here's a good one for you. Did you know that the Republican Party now has its own homosexual committee, its own subcommittee, that is? It's called Log Cabin. And I want you to remember that name. It's Log Cabin because they have become one of the most powerful, influential special interest groups among the Republicans. But you ask why and how have homosexuals organized politically, even as so-called conservative Republicans? Well, first of all, surveys reveal that sodomites and lesbians are among the most politically active and among the wealthiest of Americans. It should not surprise you, then, to know that homosexuals network together to make sure that they receive the best jobs and the most frequent and the better promotions. Secondly, they are devoted to their jobs because they have no families to take care of. Thirdly, since they have no family, sodomites and lesbians have much more free time and disposable income to spend on their hobbies, be it with each other or be it politics. And as Dr. Paul Cameron has shown in his studies, many homosexuals use their time and their money to travel all over the world to the best known and most popular bathhouses. And of course, these bathhouses are nothing more than sodomy dens or dens of iniquity. But the more intelligent and the more forward-looking homosexuals have plugged into more traditional way to spend their time and their money. That is, they have become involved in politics. However, this link between politics and homosexuality is nothing new. It's just more noticeable now because there are many more homosexuals out of the closet than there used to be. Whether you're aware of it or not, homosexuals have always been drawn to politics because homosexuality entails a form of phallus worship. You see, in pagan religions, the male phallus symbolizes power, control, and wealth. And the phallus cult historically organized in religion and politics, but usually through secret societies. In more recent times, homosexuality in politics and politicians was reserved to the elitist men clubs, such as the Bohemian Club in California. And you will simply not believe some of the people's names who supposedly belong to that organization. And I'm not even going to tell you who they are. But the Bohemian Club boasts people like a former Secretary of State and a former president among its more prominent members. Now, occasional news agency wire reports and newspaper accounts describe the secret, and it is reported that this club, all of the servants and waiters are males, and they must work without any clothes on. Bohemian Club members are typically also members of other secret societies and elitist political groups such as the Council on Foreign Relations and, I'm told, the Scottish Rite and Freemasonry. Bohemian Club members are permitted to chase, philander, and carry on with all the nude male staff members and the servants. You see, it's one of the privileges of membership and one of the evidences of the not-so-subtle homosexuality of the world elite. Now, such linkage between politics and homosexuality is actually an ancient occultic phenomenon, as the highest, most secret degrees of Freemasonry, for example, involve sodomite oaths and rituals. I mean, after all, Freemasons openly worship the phallus, or male sexual organ, as an occultic symbol of power and strength. Now, I know that many of you have heard these things before, but some of you have not. Now, the title of our series is Homosexual Power, and we are going beyond the usual biblical message condemning the sin of homosexuality. And the reason we're doing so is because the Bible's judgment on the sin of homosexuality is not only plain, it is loud, and it is clear. I mean, there are few plainer teachings from Scripture, despite the claims of queers and some Judeo-Christians that the Word of God is obscure when it comes to homosexuality. So we're going beyond the simple judgment of the sin of homosexuality, and we are concentrating on what happens when a people, what happens when a nation, ignore or even applaud this particular sin. We're taking a look at the curse that falls upon the land when the sin runs around unchecked. Now, I believe that I have already mentioned to you that anyone who has read the Word of God knows for a certainty that homosexuality violates the Word of God, period. End of statement. Likewise, it does not take a rocket scientist to understand what happened at Sodom and Gomorrah, nor does it take one to understand why it happened. A form of wickedness that is much, much deeper and much more comprehensive than even the homosexual acts they perform. I think this evidence or this wickedness is evident in the link between power politics and sodomy. There is one. Specifically, the queers and some career politicians come together in their common worship of the phallus, or the male sexual organ. But power and control over others is the religious ideal of the homosexual phallus cult. Now, what we are seeing is the world elite, then, banding together to convince others that sin is not really sin. No, sir, sin's not sin. And homosexuality is one of those many sins, of course, that they're defending as not being sin. Now, as a result of this link-up between the sodomites and the politicians, today we see some surprising apologists for homosexuality. That is, those people we should expect to oppose homosexuality are actually condoning it. In some cases, just by ignorance, or I should say, just by ignoring it rather than addressing the problem. As a result of the influence of people like Bennett, the Republican Party has created its own homosexual subcommittee called the Log Cabin, of all things, the Log Cabin. We began an examination of the meaning behind the name Log Cabin, which is the name, again, of the formal organization of the homosexuals in the Republican Party. And these homosexuals are those who have stormed the GOP because they have political insight and some experience. Yes, my friends, just like Newt Gingrich, the sodomites have descended upon the Republican Party. Not out of personal conviction, mind you, and not because they're in agreement with the party platform, no sir. They have done so because homosexuals have correctly foreseen that the GOP is the most popular party among the majority of Americans right now. They correctly understand that if they could plug into the party of the future, the party of influence, then they could become masters of their own fate, at least so they think. But representatives from Log Cabin are now so powerful that they have been invited to numerous White House affairs, from the signing of the special civil rights quotas bill by George Bush, to state dinners and dances, to Republican fundraisers, and so on. And now I am going to explain why the Republican homosexuals say they chose this name, Log Cabin. Now again, this news is a bit shocking and of such a nature that you would not want your children to listen in, so please be sure that they're not in the room. The Republican homosexuals chose the name Log Cabin for their special interest group for two reasons. First of all, the name invokes the traditional history of the GOP going back to the time of perhaps the most noteworthy Republican ever, Abraham Lincoln. We know, don't we, that tradition teaches us that Lincoln, the great forebearer of modern politics, was born in a log cabin. And knowing that tradition is important to the Republicans, so the sodomites opt for a traditional image. But, now this is where things get a little sticky, the words log cabin also have a much more hideous and wicked implications as far as homosexuals are concerned. You see, sodomites have a despicable, a reprehensible practice called anal intercourse. Now, I hope I don't have to describe in detail to you what that means, but this is the only way that sodomites can pretend to reproduce and pretend to have some kind of normal sexual relations possible, such as that between a man and a woman. But homosexuals also practice some other, some even more filthy and more dangerous sexual practices, all of which involve the anal canal or the lower intestine. You see, according to Dr. Paul Cameron of the Family Research Institute in Lincoln, Nebraska, these are the most popular activities at homosexual bathhouses. Now, I'm warning you, these are quite graphic, but here goes. These practices include something they call fisting, in which a man inserts a fist into another man's anal canal.
They also put various sex toys and small animals in the anal canal. They even go so far as to defecate one on another. And now all of these practices spread the AIDS virus, probably without question, and all of them involve the product of defecation or excrement. Now, that's not my words now. That comes to you from this doctor. Now, homosexuals refer to this male excrement in sodomite relations as, brace yourself now, they call it log, a log or logs. Yes, what I'm trying to tell you is they refer to the anal canal as a log cabin. Thus, sodomites have named their Republican Party homosexual special interest group log cabin. Is it becoming any clearer to you why God abhors sexuals, homosexuals, and homosexuality? I mean, my goodness, they pervert God's creation of man and man's body to no end. Now, earlier I compared House Speaker Newt Gingrich's motivation to join the GOP to that of log cabin members of the GOP, and perhaps you thought I was a little unfair there. But according to Gingrich's longtime friends, Gingrich has always been a political gold digger. One of those friends, a man named Bill Shipp, has this to say, quote now, when I first knew him in the 70s, when I was on the Atlanta Constitution's liberal editorial board, and we were looking for a liberal to get behind, we chose to endorse Newt Gingrich because we thought he was progressive and, to use the terrible L word, a liberal. End of quote. Indeed, we know that one of Gingrich's heroes is Franklin Roosevelt, the architect of modern liberal American politics and government. So I guess that's this way. Gingrich sort of moves from left to right, whichever way he has to, in order to get the most fame and the most fortune. So you ask, though, what does all of this about Newt Gingrich have to do with homosexuals in the Republican Party? Well, only this. You see, late in 1994, Newt Gingrich told the Augusta Chronicle newspaper, quote now, the GOP should tolerate homosexuality. You want me to repeat that? The GOP should tolerate homosexuality, so says Newt Gingrich. And there's more. Gingrich has written a novel called 1945, which has plenty of sex, again, according to the Augusta Chronicle. So Newt is just like Bill Bennett, Jack Kemp, and all the rest of the kosher conservatives in the GOP. In actuality, these are neither political conservatives nor moral conservatives. You see, they merely travel under a conservative banner, intentionally deceiving us, as their support of homosexuality proves. So what makes the Republicans think they're above God and God's law? Well, there I'm afraid it's our own fault. The permissiveness that allows homosexuals to participate even in so-called conservative causes and politics reveals an acceptance and practice of sin by the American society. It appears that we Americans have grown weary of expressing and even living according to biblical values. We seem to have been demoralized. Demoralized, destabilized, and exhausted by alien values to the point that we Americans have just plain given up. Perhaps the Germans of World War II were right. Perhaps Americans just don't have the backbone to endure and to survive, much less have victory over war's difficult circumstances. And make no mistake about it, America is at war. We are in a religious war with the alien enemies of Jesus Christ. We are in a cultural war with the alien enemies of white Western civilization. Now, contrary to what leading homosexual and Judeo-Christian spokesmen say, and I use that term spokesman loosely, contrary to what they say, God's word condemns both the sin of sodomy and the unrepentant sinner. And that's because God hates, and I say it again, he hates homosexuality. But with this in mind, it is not surprising to find that just as Newt Gingrich is not a moral conservative, neither is he a political conservative. But this man is also a futurist. Yeah, that's right, he's a futurist, just like another of his heroes, Ronald Reagan, who was a member of the Future Society, the World Futurist Society, I believe it is. And you say, well, what's that? What is this World Futurist Society? Well, futurism is a repackaging of good old Marxism. Specifically, futurism is repackaged Fabian socialism, or a thing called ENGSOC. ENGSOC, that's short for English Socialism, ENGSOC, which was the subject of George Orwell's criticism in his book 1984. Yeah, that's the book all about Big Brother watching over you. By the way, that reminds me, when Reagan was governor of California, he invented a new tool for making war against the people. Today we call it the SWAT team. That's right, the SWAT team, or the Special Weapons Assault Teams. Just come to my mind. I better get back to Newt Gingrich. He even wrote a chapter for a book being written by one of the best-known futurists, a man named Alvin Toffler. And his book is called, I don't even know if I can get this one right, it's Anticipatory Democracy. How you anticipate democracy is beyond me, but that's the title of the book. But as we know from previous studies, democracy, no matter whether you precede it with a word or not, is still a modern word for socialism. Have you heard enough? Well, no, you haven't, huh? Well, in 1968, old Newt Gingrich led a demonstration at Tulane University to try to get the campus newspaper to get this now to publish nude pictures of a professor. He campaigned for Nelson Rockefeller and did so in specific support of Rockefeller's stand on civil rights. Indeed, Gingrich has always led the fight to establish special privileges and quotas for minorities in America. He was and remains a member of the NAACP, that's right. Newt Gingrich was and remains a member of the NAACP, an organization began by communist Jews. And here's the sad news as reported by the Washington Times in the headline that reads, I'll read this headline for you. Gingrich waffles on welfare benefits for illegal aliens pressured by representatives of Hispanic districts in Florida. But you shouldn't be surprised by these developments, my brethren. I'm certainly not. No, it's no surprise to me at all. In fact, it's to be expected. And that's one reason we are doing this series on homosexual power. For you see, now listen to me, when a person has no moral values and supports the homosexual agenda, the agenda of some of the most despicable sinners in God's eyes, one might as well be a sodomite himself. Now, unfortunately, there's more that suggests that Newt Gingrich is indeed an active advocate for homosexual special interests. You see, Gingrich actively campaigned for a homosexual congressional candidate in Wisconsin. He even praised this queer candidate for his courage in running for office. In addition, Gingrich specifically refused to vote for the censure of Barney Frank. That's the congressman who ran a sodomite prostitution ring out of his Washington, D.C. apartment. And we're not done with this man yet, that is Gingrich. Believe it or not, Gingrich voted to give $3 billion of your money for AIDS research to try to countermand God's Sodom and Gomorrah-like judgment on homosexuality. He also voted for the Disabilities Act, which makes homosexuals into a repressed minority with special benefits in the workplace. We are not to be surprised when we find homosexual advocates among the Democratic Party. It hasn't been a problem at all. You see, it's what we've come to expect. It is a kind of an extension of their bid to replace the Constitution with civil rights for those who are political lobbyists and or members of other special interest groups. That's whom they're interested in. After all, there's really only one group, though, which is out. There's just one group which is out. Yeah, that one group which cannot receive fair treatment, and that group is the white race of peoples in our country. For white Christians in particular, there is not only denial of fair treatment, there's legalized punishment and harassment. But what continues to surprise me is the courting of homosexuals by the Republican Party. That's right. The courting of homosexuals by the Republican Party, to me, is something that we just cannot accept. Now, Professor John Leo says of pro-homosexuality, he says this pro-homosexuality is the new strategy of the GOP. I'm going to give you a quote now. In one form or other, he says, the idea seems to be sweeping through the social conservative movement Republican division. Now, I have mentioned all of these examples of liberal, anti-Christian, anti-American behavior by politicians simply because such behavior is an inevitable result of supporting such things as the homosexual agenda. As I said before, and I cannot stress this point enough, if a man will give in to the homosexual agenda, there's nothing else evil and sinful that he won't do or give in to. And why is this so? Evil behavior is the only way homosexuals can reproduce. They must recruit. And when a person helps them to recruit and reproduce, one joins in their wickedness. One literally becomes a top recruiter for homosexuality and whatever else is destructive and evil. Now, even former Vice President Dan Quayle, when asked about homosexuality, he dismissed the question saying, and this is a quote again, he said, that's their choice. Yes, all presidential candidate Dan Quayle had to say about sodomy and sodomites was, that's their choice. Now, keep in mind that Dan Quayle was the candidate of biblical values. And had he not withdrawn from the presidential race, he would have had the support of one of the most powerful Christian political groups in the country, that being the Christian Coalition. But getting back to these words, my choice, that's their choice. You can say that my choice, if you recall, is the very position taken by the homosexuals themselves, and it's also the position taken by abortionists and the feminists. Now I want to tell you about another Republican. This man's name is Jim Pinkerton. He's a newspaper columnist and a former aide to President George Bush. And this is what he has to say. He says, quoting again, it's foolish for Republicans not to court gay voters. I don't know if that's meant to be a pun or not, but anyhow, I think we can see from what we have seen here that Dan Quayle and other Republicans agree that the sin of homosexuality is just fine when it comes to the political goals of the GOP. In other words, the GOP will take anybody so long as they vote Republican. Now, we have known this about Democrats for some time, but did you really know and understand that the Republican Party is also advocating the same thing? Well, so much for the super politicals. And so now let me ask, what are Christian Republicans saying? Now, I already mentioned the Christian Coalition, which is Pat Robertson's political activist organization, chaired by a man named Ralph Wheaton Reed. Keep that in mind. Now, you might recall from a previous broadcast that the Christian Coalition has given in to the demands of the B'nai B'rith and other Jewish organizations to stop organizing politically on a Christian basis. So much for political action on the part of Christians. But anyhow, Ralph Reed, again, is chairing the Christian Coalition. He has written a new book. It's called Politically Incorrect. It's some 267 pages long. And even though it's politically incorrect is the title, and yet Reed barely mentions homosexuality at all. And so I would suggest to you that this is just another example of how Christians have been neutralized by anti-Christian homosexuals. So even the Republicans, the Christian Republicans, have fallen victim to political correctness, and they've given in to the powerful sodomite lobby. Brethren, let me ask you, whatever happened to the old-fashioned Christianity? Whatever happened to hot-blooded Christians, pastors, and leaders, and to Christian churches, churches who stood strong for what is right instead of standing for or tolerating all this sin amongst us? Do you remember how it used to be? Do you remember any of those old-fashioned Christian leaders? We don't have them today, do we? So today the question needs to be asked. Why do conservatives always give in to social sins and permit social sins to dictate politics and culture in America? Well, for one thing, modern-day conservatism is worthless because it is the conservatism of expediency only, and it's not of sturdy principle. It tends to risk nothing for the sake of truth. You see, only a true Christian is willing to risk something for the sake of truth. And today, the kingdom ministry peoples are about the only folks out there who put Jesus Christ and His Word ahead of political parties, ahead of men, and ahead of shadow ideology, whether liberal or conservative. And so the question is this: are we Christians first, or are we conservatives first? If we are conservatives first, then we will always be on the defensive. We will always be trying to repair the wall. That is, we will always be trying to stick our finger in the leaky dike against the great flood of sin and destruction. It's a mission, I tell you, that will fail before it even gets started. That's because conservatism is reactionary in that it permits the liberals and the anti-Christians and the anti-Americans to set up the agendas. On the other hand, true Christianity accepts no compromise. It charges ahead like David charged ahead against Goliath. It charges ahead as it proclaims the law and the gospel of God as the only rule acceptable for men. And folks, only true Christianity can hold our Israel people and our nation accountable for what is true and for what is right. And so, conservatism is in itself a humanistic enterprise, as it is incapable of avoiding compromise with wrongdoers because it is a philosophy based upon the ideas of men and not on the laws of God. Now, Scripture does remind us. Let's go to Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. Here we are told, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Now, I could give you plenty of additional scriptures to support my point that without God's word and law as a guide, we have no guide at all. For example, Acts chapter 14, verse 16 further reminds us that all nations walk according to their own ways. But the nations of Europe and the country of America were meant to be Christian nations, and therefore we are to walk in God's ways, not man's ways. No, sir, we are not to walk in the sinful ways of the third world and other alien nations. I want to show how homosexuals have corrupted the world of business. AT&T used to be a good old company, and by that I mean it was an old-line American company. You know, it was sort of like the old-time Presbyterians, the old-time Baptists, and the old-time Ford Motor Company. And there were other old-time American institutions. And AT&T was made up at that time of good, honest, decent people, and they reflected the values of the decent, hard-working, middle-class, white Christian America. But like the old church denominations, AT&T has gone New Age. AT&T is no longer what I would call genuinely American. Indeed, it is no longer called American Telephone and Telegraph Company like it used to be. You see, back in 1994, it changed its name to simply the initials AT&T. That's it, just initials, just AT&T. Well, in this modern alien age, I guess that meaninglessness has become the message. Hype and some hollow thing called image is all that seems to matter anymore. But now, I want to examine AT&T's new image. It was back in 1994 that AT&T donated $25,000 to the Center for Community Change. Now, this organization is a socialist organization that, according to the Washington Times, this is a quote now, has strongly supported increases in personal and business taxes. Well, my goodness, I guess it's no wonder they dropped the word American from their name, for no American in his right mind would support increases in taxation. And in that regard, we could say that AT&T is a little bit anti-American. But even worse than that, AT&T is anti-Christian. And this will become even more clear to you in just a few minutes. So what else is AT&T doing with the money paid by their consumers and without the approval of their billions of share owners? I mean, after all, AT&T enjoys the broadest share owner base of any company in the world. And literally thousands of good Christians, from grandmothers and grandfathers to little boys and little girls throwing newspapers, own shares of AT&T stock. Now, unfortunately, there are many things about AT&T that I'm sure that shareholders simply do not know about their treasured company. Now, Jerry Steed is chairman and CEO of AT&T Global Information Solutions, and AT&T Global Information Solutions is the division responsible for business products and sales of the company. Well, Steed made a special appearance at a recent LIG meeting in Boston. What's a LIG meeting? Well, LIG is an acronym that stands for Lesbian, Bisexual, and Gay United Employees. And according to the American Family Association, or the AFA, Steed has, and I quote now, he has called upon AT&T employees to help devise a legal definition of marriage so the company can work on extending domestic partner benefits to employees in states that do not recognize marriages between same-gender partners. Boy, I'll tell you, that's some kind of a globalist solution, isn't it? Homosexual marriages, so-called marriages, I mean, how can you call that a marriage? But anyhow, they want marriages to be recognized in this new world order for purpose of company benefits. And here, AT&T seems to lead the way. And I might add that Steed's proposal is an end run around state sovereignty and the people's biblical common law rights against homosexuality. Now, as we know, the push for a one-world government and economy originates in a one-world anti-Christian religion. So AT&T wants to give their customers money to queer employees in the form of benefits, even though doing so violates our biblical customs and laws. Now, also speaking at this particular LIG meeting was homosexual advocate Brian McNaught and U.S. Congressman Barney Frank. He's also the Democratic Jew from the state of Massachusetts. It was Barney Frank that used his position as a member of the House of Representatives to prevent homosexuals to run a prostitution ring out of his Washington, D.C. apartment back in the early 1980s. Now, you might recall, too, that Newt Gingrich voted against censuring Congressman Frank for his lawlessness. Going back in time a little bit, the Reagan White House was also the center of homosexual activity back in the 1980s. Among those who enjoyed a 24-hour pass to the White House was the late homosexual millionaire and D.C. socialite Carl Chandnall, otherwise known as Pat Chandnall to his closest friends. Now, it has been reported that Chandnall worked closely with Ollie North in funneling arms to Israel and on to Iran in exchange for American hostages. He also helped North seek out rich contributors to arm the Nicaraguan Contras in their war against the Sandinistas. But in addition to that, and probably more importantly, Chandnall was known for giving his homosexual partners and private contributors to the Iran-Israel scheme midnight tours of the White House. The Secret Service reported that during these midnight tours, strange sights would be found, including homosexual interludes in the hallways and various rooms not connected to the Reagan living quarters. They reported that expensive chinaware would mysteriously disappear, apparently taken as souvenirs by the queers. Now, none of this information, of course, was reported by the controlled mass media. The only place you can find these reports being made public was in privately circulated newsletters. Do you recall the Iran-Contra investigation led by Special Prosecutor Lawrence Walsh? Well, Chandnall was subsequently convicted of a conspiracy as a result of Walsh's Iran-Contra investigation in 1987. And by the way, Rush Limbaugh used to claim that there were no convictions in the Iran-Israel-Contra scandal. In fact, he used to claim that there weren't even any indictments. Now, Limbaugh, as you may know, is an insider's insider, so to speak. That is, according to commentator Chuck Harder. Now, Limbaugh is well connected to the controlled mass media, of course, through NBC TV, through his television producer and NBC TV executive, Robert Ailes. Robert Ailes was also George Bush's presidential campaign director back in 1988, and Limbaugh has also accepted gifts from the Jewish state of Israel, including a free trip to Israel. And on that trip, Limbaugh met with government leaders and was given an insider's tour of the military and the Jewish Knesset. So it's no surprise, it shouldn't be any surprise, that Rush Limbaugh would try to cover up the hard facts regarding Iran-Israel-Contra affair. But there were many indictments and at least six convictions. But after his conviction, Chandnall died from AIDS. On the other hand, because of this Republican conservative connection to the homosexual movement, Congressman Frank was never prosecuted or censured by Congress. And hopefully I have made it clear that the massive, well-funded international queer movement crosses party lines. That is, for a homosexual who knows his politics and contacts, there's really no such thing as a Democrat or a Republican. He knows, as many of us are just now finding out, that it's all the same party, so to speak. That is, there isn't a dime's worth of difference between the two platforms. And this is but one reason why the Republicans never follow, much less enact laws derived from their own party's platform. But getting back to AT&T, so what about those of us, the people, the consumers, and the states who oppose this queer culture? Well, AT&T spokesman John Mellor told Advertising Age, which is the most influential advertising trade journal in the world, he said, quote now, "Anyone with that kind of attitude has to lose it." That's right, according to AT&T, anyone opposed to homosexuality better change their attitude. Now, what gives AT&T the right to make such a claim or threat, and why should they find it necessary to make such a statement? Well, one thing is for certain, and that is AT&T and Mellor's foreboding threat has some teeth in it. You see, in pursuit of a one-world anti-Christian culture, AT&T regularly requires its employees to attend what they call diversity training, in which minority and queer cultures are presented as the new norm for America and the world. In this regard, the AFA Journal reports the following, and this is a quote again. AT&T has also sponsored the homosexual musical Falsettos, used McNaught's video on being gay to indoctrinate AT&T employees, and promoted comprehensive sex education programs advocating homosexuality. Indeed, those employees who do not hearken to the pro-queer message and who do not go out of their way to get along with queers in the workplace are simply fired. Now, the AFA Journal further states the following. AT&T has also established a policy of promoting the homosexual agenda by displaying a pink triangle in homosexual employees' work areas. The sticker identifies a homosexual-friendly work area, giving the message that the company approves of this lifestyle and employees who disagree are out of step with company policy. The pink triangle, of course, is an occultic symbol originating in the six-pointed star or the hexagram. And in sexual terms, the overlapping triangles of the hexagram stand for androgyny. Now, androgyny is a mix of the sexes found in such practices as homosexuality, transvestitism, lesbianism, and so on. Androgyny is particularly evident in rock music, in which male performers take on female qualities, wearing long, flowing hair, makeup, and, of course, feminine costumes. Now, placed alone, the single pink triangle with one point up symbolizes male homosexuality. But blue is the traditional color for masculinity, but it is replaced by the universal color representing femininity, which, of course, is pink. And by the way, a blue triangle, as you might well imagine, with the point down, stands for lesbianism. However, the colors are often abandoned or changed in some graphic arts, trades, advertising designs, so that homosexuals may communicate with one another in a more covert manner. That is, when there is a triangle representing a company and its sign, logos, and so on, it is often a secret message from the proprietor that to his potential homosexual customers that the company is homosexual friendly. And that's exactly what AT&T has done by marking out special homosexual friendly workplaces or stations. Now, the use of the occult symbols by the homosexual elite is evidence of what they are really out to get. And you might ask, well, then what do homosexuals really want? They want power. You see, it's the same old humanistic goal that has gone on since the earliest times in the Garden of Eden. Man wants to be God, not just to imitate God, but to be as gods. And so they seek power as the means to becoming gods. Now, in the 17th century, the philosopher Thomas Hobbes wrote a book called Leviathan. Leviathan is the biblical word for monster. And just what is that biblical monster? Well, according to Hobbes, the Leviathan is the state, or big government. More specifically, the state or big government is the outcome of man's quest for glory or for the enjoyment of power, at least according again to Hobbes. Now, man's quest for what Hobbes calls glory and the enjoyment of power is the result of man's inherent natural sinfulness, for man is naturally corrupt, as we well understand. Quoting from Genesis 6:5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of his thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, the American founding fathers accepted these views of God regarding man's ideas and ways, and they accepted God's word because they believed the Bible was true, the true revelation of God. But they also accepted God's word because their experience had proven it to be true. Thus, it does not surprise us when we know that the writings of the founding fathers are very similar to what we read in the Bible. For example, they wrote in the Federalist Papers, "Men are ambitious, vindictive, and rapacious." Now, based on that, our only conclusion can be that Christian Americans are not to trust man in power, but should limit both the authority of man and the power they may wield over others. And, of course, that's what the Constitution of the United States was all about. It was to give power to a limited degree, but to that limited degree, it was specifically to limit the power of the central government. Now, today, those opposed to God's Word and the Founding Fathers are the apostates, they are the pagans, and they are the wicked. They seek another God in themselves, and they do everything they can to obtain power and glory to simulate godliness. Now, one of the most infamous homosexuals of all times is a man named John Maynard Keynes. Now, John Maynard Keynes is known as the father of modern centralized banking. And back in the early 20th century, Keynes wrote several influential books on how to manage the national economy through, guess what, through fiat or baseless paper currency. And see, that's the things you carry in your pocket you call dollars. He believed inflation was good for the economy, but we know that those notions violate the letter and the spirit of both the biblical law and the Constitution of this country. But we do know that bad ideas are usually accompanied or preceded by bad morals. And so we should not be surprised to learn that Keynes was a practicing homosexual. I mean, he openly bragged of his sodomite perversion, and Keynes was also very much aware of the fact that he could influence society into accepting his perverted ideas, both in morals and in finances or in the banking world. Indeed, Keynes wrote that it is, quote now, "the gradual encroachment of ideas on a nation that influences that nation more than its laws." And so thus we see once again that God's enemies are more self-conscious of their anti-Christian mission than we are of winning our religious and cultural war against them. But thanks to the erosion of Christian and Western culture and values, the largest corporations in America and the world, the multinational corporations, now openly support homosexuality. But we would recognize homosexuality as a part of a barbarian, a part of a one-world culture. And it is this religious and cultural war that we are fighting here at the Kingdom Identity Ministries. So let's get back now to AT&T. AT&T also advocates and pays for homosexual public relations. And one such event was the 1994 Gay Games, which is a queer variety of the Olympics. Now, according to Business Week and another magazine called The Advertising Age, AT&T was one of the major corporation sponsors of these games, which is the biggest gay and lesbian event of the year. And Jewish columnist Bruce Horowitz of the Los Angeles Times, he had to chime in on cue, of course. And he congratulated AT&T Pro-Queer Association with the Gay Games, and he said this. This is a quote now. "For the first time since their beginning in 1892, they're attracting major sponsors on a national scale. A growing contingent from AT&T to Miller Beer has discovered that they can link up in a big way with the Gay Games and speak to millions of consumers who have been mostly ignored by major marketers." Now, I want you to notice something here. Time and time again, we have seen very active, prominent connections between the sodomite lobby, the controlled mass media, Jewish spokesmen and or organizations, minorities and aliens, the multinational corporations, and the occult. Now, I ask you, are these connections mere coincidence? I don't think so. Now, AT&T's commitment to the Gay Games is reported to be at least as big as its support for the Special Olympics. But now we learn that AT&T supports the homosexual event as much as they do the children's event. And this shocking revelation causes us to pause for a moment. It causes us to pause and ask the question, is AT&T's pro-homo agenda of any benefit or public service to America? And of course, the answer is no. Before I continue, I must make a couple more observations about this word power. In past broadcasts, we have studied how power and glory are reserved to God alone. For example, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, we find the Lord's Prayer, and there we read, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Whose is it? Well, thine is the power, and that, of course, is God's. Now, keep in mind that Christ himself made that proclamation, is not made by some mere man. And the Son of God himself is saying that only God has the glory and the power. Now, one of the most active homosexual organizations is called Queer Nation. You heard me correct. That's Queer Nation. And they're actually very proud of that name, this name Queer Nation. They're actually proud to call themselves and to be called queers. But the Queer Nation does understand something that many Christians do not. They understand nationhood. They understand that a national covenant is a necessary foundation to any scriptural, moral, and political order. And by proclaiming themselves as a queer nation, the homosexuals set themselves apart and distinguish themselves from the Christian Western nations of God. You could put it in these kind of terms. The queer nation and their multinational and multicultural sympathizers put themselves at odds with the Christian Israelite nations of this world. Now, queer nation members regularly show up at public events to chant and protest. They chant such phrases as queer power and pink power. And the pink power should sound familiar to you, of course, because it's taken from their brothers in the civil rights movement who are also known for chanting things like black power, you know, pink power, black power. But the color pink is also a reference to communist influence within the sodomite movement. I mean, hardline communists have always been called reds, have they not? With the passage of time and the release of old Soviet and American records, we are finding out that many pinkos were actually communist spies. One such example is the Jewish leader of the Manhattan Project, which developed the atomic bomb. That's J. Robert Oppenheimer. We now know that Oppenheimer, a communist Jew, was all along passing atomic secrets to the USSR. Even as the atomic bomb was being perfected and readied for use against Japan in 1945, Oppenheimer was feeding information to his red Jewish brethren in the first red Jewish state, the Soviet Union. But today, things are no different. You see, Jewish spies like Jonathan Pollard are convicted of passing American military secrets to the second red Jewish state, inappropriately named Israeli. These, then, are the spiritual, racial, national, philosophical, and other connections shared by anti-Christian revolutionaries. They share the same religious and political origins and views. Even though they are of different races, they all share the same racial animosity against the white people, against the Anglo-Saxon and kindred peoples of Europe and America who make up Christian Israel today. The queer nation loves death. That's right. Homosexuals choose death over life. They choose themselves over God. But here's the important point I want to make at this time, and I don't want you to miss it. The queer nation loves death so much that they will use it to get special rights and privileges. That is, imitating our faith and our God, they would sacrifice themselves to the point of death for the power or reward of human recognition. These sodomites want these special rights and privileges opposed from on high. Not from God, mind you, but on high from other men. That's what communism is, isn't it? That's where they think equality comes from. I mean, it comes from men in power. That's what red power, black power, Jew power, Oriental power, and queer power is all about. And their goal is to get political parties and leaders to adopt communistic ideas. And they are very successful, aren't they? In both the Democratic, of course, and the Republican parties. Now, by accumulating humanistic power, the queers believe all men, including queer men, may become as human gods. But taking up where we left off concerning AT&T, we found that AT&T actually participates in a wide variety of pro-queer endeavors to increase homosexuality and homosexual power. Now, one such activity was the first annual New York Lesbian and Gay Cultural and Business Exposition. It was called Out Loud. It was held in October 1994. Now, other companies involved in the New York Queer Exposition included the American Express, the Equitable Insurance Company, and Benetton Fashions. Now, Benetton Fashions is infamous for its interracial fashion advertisements revolving around sexual themes and perversions. Maybe some of you have seen these ads in popular magazines. Ads in which young white women are depicted in jungles, swamps, and other alien settings wearing little or nothing, and surrounded by leering, groping, dark-skinned, third-world barbarians. Now, AT&T has also committed resources and profits to supporting Chicago's North Alstead Market Days Festival. This festival reaches out to homosexuals by providing them a special pro-homo recruiting and service platform. Now, again, I want to point out that AT&T is not alone in promoting the pro-queer agenda. You see, MCI and a company called Working Assets, which operates through Sprint Company, are two more long-distance telephone companies who are in the same league as AT&T. That is, both MCI and Working Assets, or Sprint, have donated profits and company resources to queers and other anti-Christian organizations. Again, according to the AFA, quote now, Sprint is the long-distance carrier for Working Assets long-distance service. Working Assets donated over $1 million last year to groups such as National Gay and Lesbian Task Force, Planned Parenthood, and Greenpeace. MCI, the other major long-distance carrier, has also done special mailings to the homosexual community, as well as being among the top sponsors of sex, violence, and profanity on television. The company is also a sponsor of ABC's softcore porn series, NYPD Blue. End of quote. Through commercial promotion agreements, Working Assets, or Sprint, is advertised by various left-wing and socialist publishers as a way to help promote the socialistic cause in America. Moreover, MCI ranks number 12 on the AFA Dirty Dozen Top 12 Sponsors of Primetime Filth on Television. MCI also sponsors ABC's television show called Roseanne. You've all seen that one, or heard of it at least. The Roseanne Show. And Roseanne regularly slanders middle-class whites and promotes homosexuality, teen sex, and so on. Again, all according to the American Family Association, or the AFA. Now, one thing we found in our study is that God's judgment of sodomy and lesbianism is not confined to the sin itself, nor to the sinners themselves. You see, those who permit or promote people's or countries' acceptance or tolerance of this particular sin actually help spread the effects of God's judgment. Specifically, we've seen that the powerful homosexual movement has among its allies the most powerful, I guess we could call them kosher conservatives, the Republicans. If we make a covenant with sin, with unrepentant sinners, we break our covenant with God. If we become political or social partners with those who make war on God's law, then we also make war on God's law. And how's that, you ask? Well, we become treasonous to God by aiding and abetting or comforting his enemies. And it is for this reason alone that I am telling you the rest of the story on these so-called conservatives and Republicans. I'm not out to belittle persons or personalities, only what they do. But I do want you to know what you're buying into when you join the league or the ranks of these kosher conservatives. And of course, this goes double for those who are openly committed to homosexuality as a matter of principle and party platform, such as we see in the Democratic Party. Now, I want you to recall that we've shown how anti-Christian, anti-American special interest groups tend to flock together, and their alliance is much more than one of political convenience. It's an alliance of sin. It's an alliance of the enemies of a God attempting to collect and to consolidate their power. For that's how pagans and sinners understand the world, in terms of their own power, the occultic power of humanism, if you will. Now, the spiritual world operates on laws just a little bit different than the laws of physics. In the spiritual world, opposites do not attract. They repel. For example, it's good versus evil, it's darkness versus light, and it's God's law versus man's law. On the other hand, like attracts like. That's why Paul warns us not to fellowship with sinners, whether they are believers or unbelievers, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 12. He says very plainly to us, I'll read those verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 12. I wrote unto you an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or the extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one, no, not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? In other words, if we avoid the most terrible forms of sin, and if we judge these sins and unbelieving sinners, so are we also to judge those sins and avoid even so-called believers who practice them. Why? Because, as happened to the church at Corinth, the wickedness of evildoers seemed to rub off on the members, and they became just as corrupt as the evildoers outside the church. Of course, the fact that sin breeds sin is a covenantal truth. That is, we find God instructing us about this problem in both the Old and the New Testaments. The Old Testament, like the New Covenant, frames God's law in this matter, in terms of race, in terms of nation, and in terms of the identity of the church. For example, we read in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9, the following, When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. So avoiding the sins of aliens includes specifically not committing the sin of homosexuality, as we see if we go over to Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 17. For there we're told in no uncertain terms, There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. Now for those of you who want to see what happens when our race, when our nation, and when our people, our church, picks up the sins of the aliens, I suggest that you read Leviticus chapter 26, the entire chapter. And specifically, we read there how God judges sinful humanistic power. He says just in verses 19 and 20, And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. And your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. What that amounts to is some kind of economic judgment, doesn't it? And so we find three special interests, anyhow, that we have seen so far in our study on this homosexual problem. We have seen three special interests, the occultic power, the homosexual power, and the anti-Christian power. And these three sinful humanistic powers attract each other. Sin breeds sin. Corruption breeds corruption, and like attracts like, at least in the spiritual realm. And given this spiritual law, we should not be surprised to find that these socialists are in bed with the homosexual movement. Because what happens to Republican leaders who criticize their fellow Republican leaders for practicing and or supporting homosexuality? Well, let's take the College Republican National Committee as just one of those examples. We'll look at a man named Bill Spadia. Bill Spadia was the chairman of the College Republicans, according to the Washington Times. Spadia had criticized his elders for treating homosexuality as a values-neutral lifestyle choice. Well, now, isn't that interesting? Somebody in the Republican Party did not like homosexuality. And he criticized his elders for treating homosexuality as a values-neutral lifestyle choice. Well, what happens to Spadia? Well, Spadia was then fired by the Republican National Chairman, Haley Barbour, for irresponsible conduct. And so the College Republicans were stripped of national funding and kicked out of their headquarters. Brethren, what's important to note here is that in the new Big Tent GOP, homosexuals, illegal aliens, and minorities are all given special treatment. Their particular and peculiar sins are treated like some kind of badge of honor and hailed as wonderful diversity. And anyone who doesn't go along with the occult power promotion of these alien ways is vilified as evil. Now, that's a nice touch of doublespeak and hypocrisy, isn't it? To call evil good and good evil. But I would remind you what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. He said, "Now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covenant, or an idolater or railer or drunkard or an extortioner. With such a one, do not even eat." So what's my point? What the Bible says over and over again, if a man takes up with sinners, if a man tolerates sinners, if a man will deal with these people and accept their money, he becomes a sinner himself. If a man continually soils his character and spirit, then there's nothing else wicked that he will not do. This is the curse of homosexuality. It pervades our culture and our national life like a plague among us. But everybody loves the homosexual, the minorities and aliens, the conservatives and the government. Brethren, we need to pray for America. We need to pray badly, and we need to give no place in our lives and our homes to the terrible sin of homosexuality or those who support them. But until next time, this is Pastor Bob saying, may the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob just bless you and keep you safe in these latter days.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a
CD
of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our costs plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.